I have to look it up.
Yeah, we'd have to look it up.
Okay, so why doesn't somebody give me that? Maybe Mr. Schaefer can, since he's the finance guy. I think it's reasonable to assume that these numbers should be, you know, right at the tip of your tongue. How much money did you roll into the line item of salaries, which was based upon the calculations of all the members that are receiving a longevity check? What exactly is that calculation so the taxpayers know what that longevity bonus is?
While they're looking for that, do you have any other questions, Mr. Cody?
Yes, I do. I have several. I just don't want to interrupt their train of thought because, you know, I think it's out of respect and courtesy. I really rather not ask another question while we're in the midst of an additional financial question.
So the number you're looking for is $1,443,908.
Okay. Don't you think that's in the best interest for clarification that should be broken out into a line item? I mean, general accounting principles would suggest that should be there. So I know we had this conversation in the past, but the line item of salaries with it not broken out. And if you look back to the 2018 era when unused sick time was rolled into salary and longevity was rolled into salary and so forth, that line item becomes deceptive and it's not definitive for the purpose of accounting. So having said that, let me move on. In the budget, the current budget, when we look at the line items of 116, 117, and 124, and I know we touched a little bit upon this, unused sick time uniform and salaries on the job injury. And I know there was which was obvious, everybody knew that was just a typographical error, no harm on the budgeted unused sick time, which is $321,262. The total for the past, I just lost it, hang on. The total of those three line items that has been used was $1,724,475. And now for those three line items, it's only budgeted at $321,272, which leaves a shortfall of $1,403,203. So we have sick time for uniform fire does not have a budgeted allocation, and neither does salaries and on the job injury in the formal budget that's presented to us tonight. Could someone clarify that for me, or did I miss an amendment to the budget?
Sure. Those numbers are budgeted in the budget as you see it. They're just not reflected in that line because it's hard to calculate how much sick time and how much on the job injury. Those are reflected in the salary line. So when somebody takes a sick day, those hours are credited or deducted from the sick line and credited from the salary line. So if you're saying there's, you know, a couple $100,000 between those two lines that are unbudgeted, but if you go to the salaries line for firefighter two, you'll see the projection for the end of the year in our firefighter two salaries is, you know, $800,000 or $900,000 under budget. And that's where that money is. It comes from.
So how do we know that? And in the past, and if you go back historically in the budgets, this budget, the format of it has changed a little bit, right? So how does somebody know, let's say someone that's not 100% familiar with budgets and, you know, one of the taxpayers looking at that, it's kind of deceptive, right? Where you should be able to produce or predict what you've used in the past based upon averages, right? You can use an algorithm to figure it out, and you should be able to fill that line item with something. So at least there's a representation of what we need to use, because when the average person looks at that, they say, well, you know, we got a $1.4 million shortfall here, right? Which is calculated out at the end of the budget in the total budget numbers. So I think there's a defect there in that calculation. And I would suggest that several members of the council didn't see that. So when you look at all the numbers, you should be able to look at sick time uniform and say, okay, for the past 10 years, we've had X amount based on X amount of members, do some simple mathematics and at least put in a projection based upon history, right? Am I overreaching on that?
I've been involved with this budget since fiscal year 18. That's the way we've been doing it since 18. And if the administration decides that they want to change that the way that we calculate the budget for these purposes, I'm totally open to that. This is the way that we've done it since I've been here. And if anybody's got a question on how the budget works out and how the numbers, where they come from, they can just make a phone call to the fire department. And we'd be more than happy to answer those questions.
Right, Chief. And if you remember in 2018, you were taking the unused sick time and rolling that into the salaries. And we had that discussion and the administration agreed that in fact it violated basic accounting principles. And now you have line item 35116, which breaks out the unused sick time from the salary because it's a completely different disbursement. So let's move on from there. A quick question based upon that. So I'm assuming just from my experience of reading the books of the fire department, you guys are basically self-accounting, correct? You plan your budget, you execute your budget, you execute your expenditures to the finance, and then those expenditures are dispersed, correct?
Go through the same process as every other department in the city.
Okay, so has the bookkeeping system of the fire department ever been audited by a third party professional accounting? Because I know, you guys are firefighters, we respect that, you guys are great, you do a great job. You're not accountants, you're not forensic accountants. Has, I guess, based upon these small defects that I have found in the past that actually have been changed through prior administrations, has the accounting system of how you produce your books, has it ever been audited by professional accountants as to the accuracy and as to how it is in accordance with basic accounting procedures?
Mr. Cody, please just direct your questions on this year's budget.
Oh, that's exactly what I'm
specific
doing.
Specific line items. Do you have any more questions on specific line items in the budget
Council
that the fire department can answer?
Council President, this is about specific line items in the budget. As an example to the Council President, I'll reflect again on prior budgets that did not break out these particular.
Yeah, you have stated that numerous times. Do you have additional questions for the fire department on the budget at this time?
Questions, but my question now is because I am seeing these things which do not really equate to that are not consistent. Has the department ever had like an accounting professional review the methods that they produce their budget? Very simple, yes or no?
I'd like to respond to Mr. Cody's questions. I mean, the city produces a consolidated annual financial report each year, certified audit, and that was completed in March last year. There was no management letter from the audit firm contesting anything that we'd done. Fire department does not write checks. They send over their payroll information. Our office processes the payroll, issues the paychecks. We make periodic transfers to the pension fund. We pay the health benefits. Fire department goes through purchasing, either through bids or through occasionally exceptions to publication on bidding. There's been no recommendations in our most recent audit that anything is required beyond what they've already noted in their audit.
Okay, great. Thank you. You answered my question. So moving on. Pertaining to unused sick time, I guess a question for the mayor. I know because previous council members were talking about unused sick time and how in certain years, in 2019, it was 909,000 and then it went to 647 and 298 in between. And I understand that's because we have retirements and those individuals cash out their unused sick time that's in the bank. Do you know how many unused sick days are in the bank presently that the department has? And if so, what the value of that is?
I have that number in a spreadsheet. Unfortunately, I don't have my computer on the city network in front of me.
How about the finance director? Does the finance director know how much we have?
No, the fire department maintains the records on unused sick time.
Finance department does request that annually during the audit. We'll provide them with those numbers.
June 30th information.
Yep.
How about the fire chief? Does the fire chief know the answer to that question?
No, Chief Umenhauer answered that question already.
Okay. Well, I find that odd, Chief, because you did answer that to me, and it's 21,457 days, which is a substantial amount of liability that the taxpayers have. So we presently have in the bank, so everyone understands this, in the bank of unused sick days that we are not accounting for as a liability to the taxpayers of the city of Warwick. As of the latest unused sick pay report, 21,457 days of unused sick time, which accounts for or is equivocal for 58.8 years of sick time that has an average value of $2,021 of about $12 million that we're not accounting for anywhere. And this is a big number. And the question that I have pertaining to the fact that we have 21,457 days in the unused sick pay bank, my question is, why in the 2020 unused sick pay report did the chief allocate an additional 3 days sick leave credit and monetize that to the tune of 251 extra days? So I guess my question is, we've got this enormous amount of unused sick time in the bank, but then when you look at the unused sick pay report, we gave an additional credit of 3 days and monetize that. Could someone explain to me why we gave an additional 3 days? And the document that I'm looking at that I received from the city, it seems like everybody that was at that 140 day mark that we monetized, we gave them all an extra 3 days. And I'm just wondering why that took place.
So I guess I'll be the one to answer that question. When the issue of the old calculation of sick time, when we used to pay it out monthly, was unilaterally changed by then Mayor Solomon, the union grieved the change in the policy. That went to the arbitration board. The arbitration board awarded the fire department as being in the right. And they, in that part of that award was granting 3 sick days to anybody who was harmed by that unilateral change in that sick time calculation.
Oh my God. Chief, do you know what the date of that arbitration decision is? Because I had the 2019 arbitration decision and I did not see that in there. As a matter of fact, I actually saw the narrative, the complete narrative from Attorney Augusta, and that wasn't in there. And I know that was a big issue. And the reason that was an issue was because the calculation and how it was being calculated was not brought forth before the legislative branch of government. And it was changed with that, what they called that side deal. So I looked extensively in the Department of Labor on the website where the arbitration decisions are. And could you supply me with the date of that arbitration decision? Because the 2019 one that I currently have in my position, in my possession, does not have that. Do you know when that date was?
I would have to come from the city solicitor. I got that from the city solicitor at the time when that arbitration came down.
So is it, do I have to formalize this in a request for public records, or as a courtesy, can that be sent to me?
I would recommend formalizing that public records request.
Okay. So let's move on. Line item 35218, scuba SCBA cylinders, the Scott air packs. So last year, we used $875. I have all the data from the past. I have a little bit of history with this particular type of product. We used $875 last year. Why $20,000 this year?
So what the money for the next 2 years, we do our SCBA replacement in phases. Last 2 years prior to this fiscal year was bottle replacement. That was completed. The plan for this fiscal year and for next fiscal year was to replace the masks, which have a shelf life on them too, useful life.
I'm sorry, what's the useful life of them?
10 years.
And how many of those do you have currently?
Each firefighter has one. So we have at least 176 that the firefighters have. And then we have the obviously reserve ones when ones get broken that they can use in reserve.
And how many bottles?
About 200. I'm not exactly sure on the count of the bottles right now.
And there's really no life expectancy on the bottles. They just have to pass hydro tests, correct?
I would have to check on that from last year's budget.
Well, typically with a compressed air cylinder, all they have to do is pass a hydro test every 5 years. And as long as they pass the hydro test, they're good. So are you currently having the Scott air pack cylinders hydro tested on a regular basis?
Yep. We have to follow the NFPA standard on SCB out of bottle maintenance. The replacement they're tested every 5 years. They require replacement by NFPA standard every 15 years.
Even if it passes hydro?
That's correct. That's an NFPA standard. This is a different environment than the most air cylinders.
Right. But they're pressurized to 1.5 times the working pressure. If they pass the test, if they pass the hydro,
And they go into burning buildings.
Right. I understand that. But if they still pass the hydro,
we're required to comply with the NFPA standard by state law. So the answer to your previous question about the masks is we procured a AFG supplemental grant in the fall of this fiscal year to replace all of the SCBA masks for the department. So that's why you see no spending this year in that category, is because the money was going to be spent on replacing half of those masks, but we ended up not having to do that because we had the federal government pay for it.
So you're replacing all of the masks, whether they need to be replaced or not?
They're all coming up on for replacement because they were all bought under a grant from 10 years ago.
Oh, at the same time.
Okay. Them all at the same time.
All right. So, all right. That's very good. Good. Nice going. Moving down, marine operations, 35236. I mean, traditionally, for forever, you know, the most it's been is a little 10,000 and change. Now, all of a sudden, it's 30,000. Why is that?
So the marine rescue operations last year was combined two different lines, the dive team and the fireboat line items. One was 10,000, one was 8,000. They were combined last year into one line item because they're really both commodities. They're not really a service. So that was consolidated for efficiency. So it really is an $18,000 line item. It's those two combined. So we project spending that this year. The increase in cost is we need to replace all of the electronics on our Marine 2, which is our unit up in Patuxent. All that electronics is outdated and is malfunctioning and needs to be replaced. So the coordinator of the Marine, the team that leads the boats, asked for $12,000 in order to have somebody replace all the electronics in that boat. That is not
under the fireboat line item. You have zero monies budgeted.
No, fireboat was eliminated, and that was moved to 35,236 marine rescue operations. So it was just we moved the money from there. We don't fund that anymore. And we added that budget fund in to 236. That's why there's an increase in that budget.
So I would venture to guess right now that there's not one person sitting in that room and not one council member that understands that budget line item, that additional monies are going for electronics for the fireboat. If there's anybody I'd like to know if there's any council member that understood that, looking at that line item, that $12,000 increase was going for electronics. Could somebody just tell me? Did anybody know that?
I believe that's why we're here tonight.
Well, I think that's a thing that, you know, in a situation when the city council that is responsible for spending $335 million, the taxpayers' money, that a line item like this, they should understand it. Right. They should have gone through this budget like I have and said, wait a minute, you got a $12,000 increase, but you have zero expenditures on the line item of the fireboat. Where's the money going to? The money's not going into rescue operations. It's going into a physical commodity, which is the fireboat. So, again, you know, you're looking at deceptive accounting practices. And quite frankly, you know, while we're speaking on this, because I have a little bit of knowledge about marine electronics. What,
Mr. Cody, do you have any additional questions? We have other people that would like to speak. If you have one more question, and then
questions. And so what electronics package are you purchasing?
We don't have that information available to us right now, Mr. Cody.
Okay, so we don't know what marine package, electronics package.
We don't have the particulars available to our fingertips right now.
Okay.
It's updating our communication for our marine unit that is used for life-saving purposes on the bay.
Okay. Line item 35282, turnout gear. So I'm correct in assuming that turnout gear is the basic gear that we're obligated to give our new firefighters, correct?
That's replacement of existing gear. Again, NFPA standard stipulates that we need to replace gear if it doesn't pass an NFPA inspection, or if it surpasses 10 years of service life. So we budget a small fraction of that cost every year in order to go to a replacement program so that we don't have to replace all the gear one fiscal year.
All right, does that turnout gear also, when we have new firefighters, from what I've read in the contract specifies turnout gear, and it actually itemizes each piece of equipment that the new firefighter is provided. Is that within that budget as well?
That is correct. So next fiscal year, that $85,000 in its entirety will go to those 28 new recruits. It's about $3,000 a set. That's about $84,000 just in the recruits. So we will miss a cycle of replacement gear for the existing firefighters.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. The question that I have is, for the last 5 years, we've budgeted $85,000. We haven't spent it, and we haven't had a fire school, which amounts to $425,000. Where did that money go?
We spent $84,000 this year. We spent $85,000 last year, $77,000 the year before, and $84,000 the year before. So we have spent it.
Well, that's not reflected in the other budgets that I had in front of me.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Cody. We're going to have another member of the public.
I'm not done.
Thank you very much, sir. Your time is expired.
I'm not done.
I'm sorry. Your time is expired. All right. I will entertain a motion if someone would like to give this individual additional. He has spoken. He's had the floor for 30 minutes. Council rules is 10 minutes. Is there a motion for additional time for this individual? Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, Mr. President, I'm going to make a motion because I do not support timing out taxpayer or member of the public when they have legitimate questions to ask in regards to a $335 million budget. I would remind everyone.
Oh, what is your motion, Councilman? What is the motion?
I'm explaining my motion.
We don't know what the motion is. Please make the motion. We'll see if we get a second, then you can explain.
fine. The motion is to extend additional time to this particular speaker.
How long, sir?
Another 10 minutes.
Okay. Do we have a second on that motion?
I'll second that for the, as this is the budget hearings. So
okay,
I think
okay. It has been second. Councilman Lattiser, you have the floor.
Yes. I won't reiterate my first comments. This is a $335 million budget, somewhere thereabouts. If you look at the list of participants, you have a handful of people who are in this Zoom meeting for the biggest issue that we speak of in the course of the year. And largely because it's restricting the comments, it's restricting members of the public. And now, in addition to that, we want to time out the few people that are here to speak on behalf of all the other people that cannot get here, unable to get here, or unable to attend. That is wrong. That is absolutely wrong. The members of the public and the taxpayers and the people that pay all of these salaries, they absolutely have the right to ask the legitimate questions. If they're going off base or anyone's going off base and they're talking about something else that isn't pertinent to the item, fine, then you can bring them back into order. But to cut people off and restrict their abilities to represent or speak for the public is wrong. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. I was just going to say that a lot of these questions that are coming up, we're talking about cylinders. We're talking about, you know, equipment that the chief has answered very specifically concerning the update of equipment. We're going line item by line item, which we have done. And quite honestly, it's getting a little ridiculous. Every time, you know, someone brings something up or the caller brings something up, he goes, oh, I bet you didn't know. I bet the council didn't do their job. We did our job. Here's the thing. I did my job during the time I had this budget. I called the mayor's office. I called the fire department. I called the budget department. I called them all. I had my conversations. I had my questions and I got them answered. So to sit there and just listen again and again and again about, well, you didn't do your due diligence. You know, you didn't do this. If we need to send our boats to Block Island to do a follow-up or to send, have them have the navigation equipment and to take care of whatever needs to be taken care of, I want them to be able to do it. And if that means updating the equipment, let's update the equipment. So I have no problem with what's being about hearing the answers the fire department is given. But at the same time, this is becoming a show during a budget, very important, as the councilman said, a $370 million budget. But yet we're going to nitpick over cylinders and how much I know, how much you don't know. I bet you don't know because I know. It's becoming a joke. And the reason why there's a few people here is because this portion is dragged out. Three administrations we've done budgets with. Three administrations I personally have sat through budgets. And it's the same thing. And every administration has gone at it. And we all realize that there are federal and state laws and mandates we have to follow. And it's not rocket science that we just had a chief and other people tell us that this COVID hit. And I understand, Councilman Lattiser, you don't like hearing about COVID, but it took up 15 months of our lives. And it did affect some of us. We lost some Warwick staples because of COVID. Some good people died because of COVID. So you may not like talking about it, but it's a fact that we live with. And I am sick and tired of hearing, well, everyone talks about COVID, but that's it. We have to face the reality. This fire department kept operations during COVID. Our police department kept operations during COVID, and they followed all federal and state mandates, including calling uniform services back when they weren't required, when they were on time off, they were forced back to work. So I will not support an extension of this. This happens every budget season, and it's becoming absolutely ridiculous. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Snappy.
Keep it simple. I'm all for someone asking questions. I'm not all for enabling a circus. And that's unfortunately what the caller insists on doing. I won't be a part of it.
Any other questions from members of the council on this? If hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for an additional 10 minutes for that speaker.
Mr. McAllister?
No.
Mr. Foley?
No.
Mr. Gebhardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
No.
Mr. Lattisa?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
No.
Mr. Ricks?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
No.
Ms. Travis?
No.
3 yes, 6 no.
Thank you. The motion fails. We have the next caller, please, to speak on the fire department budget.
Thank you, Councilman. Robert Cushman, former city councilman. First of all, I want to extend a warm welcome to my former colleague, Mayor Picozzi. We, if you're not aware, we both served on the school committee back in, I think it was 2003 and 2004. We had some very interesting meetings and discussions between ourselves on the school department. And Mayor, I just, like I said, want to extend a warm welcome to you.
Thank you, Bob. How are you?
Thanks. I see that. Is Mr. Schaefer there? Because what I wanted to touch on was a comment that Mr. Schaefer made at the beginning of the firefighter department presentation. I'm going to try to.
Mr. Cushman, Mr. Schaefer had to step away for a moment. He'll be back shortly. Lynn Farger is here, if you speak that.
Okay, well, so Mr. Schaefer, started the presentation off by showing the city of Cranston and how they present the firefighter budget. And within that process, they included, I guess, the cost of benefits within the firefighter budget. And I just wanted to, one of the things that I've been doing for the past so many years in the city is keeping track of what the, budgets going all the way back to 2004. And I think it's really an important thing to actually include that expense when you're looking at the overall budgets for the fire department, the police department, and the municipal department. And, my question is, maybe the former personnel director of Cranston can answer this, but, why do you believe including the benefits expenses in a budget presentation is important?
So this is Lynn. I'm the city treasurer because Peter stepped away.
I'm not sure if they can see us or not. I think we're having a technical glitch.
Have I blacked out?
I think,
Mr. Christian, can you see us? I can see you. I can see you.
We can see you.
Okay, our screen is blank. But go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Peter's back, but I can start answering it. The importance of budgeting for the benefits in the fire department is because it's a true reflection of the cost of the fire department. And that would be the same through other departments of the city. Other communities do that. It's a requirement for the reporting we do for the state so they can compare towns to town. And I believe that's an initiative Peter wants to undertake.
Mr. Schaefer, I just want to just congratulate you for that because, like I said before, it's something that I've been really asking past administrations to do for years. And I think it's really important. And I've been noted as not a budget expert, which I am not. And hearing that from you as a budget expert is really reassuring to me that I think the direction that this administration is going to take is going to be really a sound direction to take. And it's going to actually help, not only the city council, but the public see what the real true expenses are in these different departments. Now, with that in mind, what I would like to do is share with you, some of my findings and what's changed in the fire department budget over the past several years, actually doing this analysis and including the benefits. And I think one of the important things to take a look at is, when we look at the overall firefighter budget, I believe it's $24.6 million, right? That's what we actually have on paper in the budget. But when we start adding in, like, for example, the firefighter pension costs, it's $22.3 million to the budget. And those are real expenses that are costs associated with the firefighter services. I guess one of my next questions is, are you also going to recommend not only including the pension expenses, but would it be the active firefighter healthcare expenses and the OPEB expenses? Would that be something that would be included?
What the state is requiring is they've come up with guidelines. And the Auditor General came up with a whole scenario of guidelines. Lynn dealt with the group that was doing it with a test, 12 test communities, I think, to start with. And if we moved in this direction, and many places have not moved in this direction for their budget presentation, that's up to the mayor and the council. If they want to move in this direction, that would mean following the guidelines that we're reporting information to the state. And for example, I think most of the pension information, they're only reporting the normal cost of the pension, not the amortization of the unfunded liability. So there'd be a lot of judgments to make going forward, but it would be, if we move in this direction, it would be consistent with the reporting requirements that we now comply with in terms of our annual reports to the state as part of our consolidated annual financial report.
Okay, so you know, I'm no expert at this, but I just want to give you a couple of the anecdotal things that I've looked at over the years. And this is just for example, you know, when we look at firefighter costs, and I did an analysis where I not only included the $24.6 million in the cost, but I included the pension costs. I included the active firefighter healthcare costs, also the OPEB costs, because, you know, we are paying for services that were performed by firefighters in the past, and it is part of the firefighter budget. And when you add all of that up, we're about $53 million. That's how much it costs us for firefighter services. And if you divide that $53 million by the 204 proposed firefighters, you're talking about $260,000 per firefighter. Now, that doesn't even include the OPEB costs that we haven't amortized, the unfunded liabilities, so because we don't actually have that broken down that way. So one of my questions is maybe to Mr. Schaefer, do we have any documentation from the as to what the OPEB cost is for the firefighter department that is not as a pay-as-you-go expense?
Our financial statements show the accumulated OPEB liability, but I do not believe it reports it by department. Is that correct, Lynn?
I don't think it does, no.
Now, would you be able to get that by department so you could actually include that in there and even get a more accurate?
That is not part of the actual requirement for financial reporting of OPEB liabilities.
No, I understand that. But I mean, if the mayor made a recommendation to do that, would you be able to do that?
Wouldn't be my recommendation that you do that. That's going too far. But I, looking at the total OPEB liability is an important thing, an important part of the financial statements. We have a proposal that you'll see later in the budget to finally start a very modest contribution to the OPEB liability, but it'd be cumulative for all city employees.
Okay, so, you know, just to take a look at things and just for your edification, you know, when we go back in about 15 years ago, pension expenses in the fire department have increased by over 300%, healthcare by about 230%. So, you know, these expenses are something that is very important, I think, for the council to recognize and for the entire city to see what the trends are in the budget. And, you know, when you look at, you know, the salary line items, I don't think they're outrageous what the salary line items are. But it's all the other expenses. And I don't think a lot of times even the active employees don't consider the rising cost of these benefits as part of their compensation. So, you know, when we hear, I think you've got $800,000 budgeted for, it's a different line item for raises. Is there a specific amount you have budgeted for the fire department out of that $800,000 for raises for next year?
Their compensation July 1, and they have a pay raise July 1, that's included in the budget. It's only police and municipal employees that contracts are being negotiated.
Okay, and what's the percent raise coming up next year for firefighters in this budget?
2%.
2%. And, you know, I don't know if you've done this kind of analysis, but if you analyze the increase in healthcare costs and the increase in pension costs, what would the total increase be? Do you have that figure in a percent?
Healthcare costs are going down 5% because the contract was negotiated by the council.
Okay. So let me go on to one other thing, and this is dealing with the revenue budget. So there's a revenue line item called rescue fees, and I think the line item is 100-03525. And in that line item, I'm just trying to look at it right now. You have $2.9 million proposed in that line item. I'm just wondering why that line item is being reduced. I know back in fiscal 20, you had $3.275 million. What's the reason for the reduction in the rescue fees?
Well, there was, in the base year, we lost revenues because people didn't want to go to the emergency room. So the number of runs was way down. It had nothing to do with the fee that was being charged. It was that people didn't want to go to the hospital.
Well, but why? So are you assuming people aren't going to want to go to the hospital in the next fiscal year? Why are you down so much from the fiscal 2020 year?
Well, we've got that issue in a number of revenue and expense categories in terms of the timing of the end of the pandemic. So right now, I think we budgeted some improvement, and I don't have it in front of me.
Quite honestly, Peter and I argued a little bit about this one. I think we came up with a compromise to reduce it a little bit with the understanding that the American Rescue funding will make up anything else we lost. But there was, I think about how many fewer cars were on the road and how many people are working from home now.
The bottom line, it doesn't really matter what we estimated, because whatever we lose compared to the baseline for fiscal year 19, we're eligible for reimbursement from the American Rescue Plan.
So with those questions in mind, how many actual rescue runs were reduced this year from the 2020 budget?
I only know the numbers.
Yeah, we don't have that exact number available to us right now.
Well, but I would assume that it's going to be a substantially less number of runs, right? If your fees were down that much, right?
There was a period of time where our call volume was reduced because of COVID. There was less calls for service. People were less inclined to want to go to the hospital for fear of contracting COVID.
Do you keep track of the average mileage per rescue vehicle for each year?
We do.
And what was the average mileage on the rescue vehicles during this COVID year? Was it substantially less than other years?
Again, I don't have that documentation with me tonight.
I mean, can we get that? I mean, I think one of the big things we've talked about before is the fact that, you know, the rescue vehicles, we need new vehicles and things like that. And I would hope to see that the mileage was way down on not only the rescue vehicles, but for the fire vehicles, if there was less calls. So is there anybody that will do that analysis?
We can run the numbers of the trucks that we have. Unfortunately, the issue that we've had over the last year is we've been borrowing a lot of trucks from out-of-town fire departments. We can't calculate those mileages on those trucks.
But would you have expect to see the mileage down overall?
I would expect to see it down. If the amount of runs went down and the amount of transports went down, then it would just make sense that the mileage went down.
Okay. In 2020, there was a line item for $250,000 for a fire study. When's that report going to be provided to the public for that $250,000?
I don't think we did it. I don't think it was done. I don't
believe it. Why wasn't it done?
It wasn't part of this budget. It wasn't out of the fire budget.
That's out of a different budget anyway. Isn't that out of?
No. Well, I know that, but it said a fire study. I mean, was the department directed to participate in a study?
No.
So there was no study done for that $250,000 budgeted?
In 2020?
Yeah.
Mr. Cush, was it in the fire budget?
I don't know. I'm just recalling from my memory. I remember the former mayor committed to
That's a different item on the agenda.
All right. I mean, was the study done? Can you just answer that? It's associated with the fire department.
Fire department's not aware of any study that was performed in 2020.
But wouldn't have paid for it either.
All right. And within that line of questioning, when is the last time we've actually had a study, you know, maybe of overall, you know, we've talked about, you know, the school department's done some consolidation with schools and things like that. But when's the last time we've actually looked at, you know, our fire stations, our staffing, just a comprehensive study of the fire department? When's that last done?
on its own?
Probably 3 or 5 years.
We haven't had a study in my recent memory. I'm not sure when the city last did a study in the fire department. I know that we do have the insurance services does come in and do an ISO rating on us every 5 years. And they do look at things like exactly what you're talking about, staffing, trucks, water supply, communications, all the aspects of the fire service.
I mean, would you recommend maybe once every 10 years or something to have a study like that done?
If there was a need for it.
So you don't think there is a need for it?
Not as it pertains to this budget right now, no.
Okay. Let me just make sure I've covered everything in my notes, because you know most of the other questions I had were later on during the presentation on the benefits. I'll save that for the benefits. Let me just check. The lease purchases for the fire trucks, what line item is that in? Is that part of this department, or is that in a different, is that expense in a different department?
That's coming up in debt.
Okay, that's in debt. All right. All right, I think I'm all set right now. I'll just hold questions for those other departments. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Looks like we have another individual who would like to speak about the fire department budget, if we can unmute them.
Hi, this is Barbara Walsh. I don't have the kind of knowledge that your other two speakers have about specific line items in the budget. I just wanted to speak in a more general way about this overall budget. As a layperson and a taxpayer, I find it offensive to keep these costs going up and up, the benefits going up, the overtime going up dramatically. I also find it offensive that Rob Cody, who has done an incredible amount of work looking at all this stuff.
Yeah, Ms. Walsh, I just want it. You have to stick to the item that is before us, so we don't talk about individual callers or concert people. We just have to stick it to your thoughts on the fire department budget at this time.
All right. I just wanted to compare my lack of knowledge to his knowledge, in the sense of being a layperson and not dealing with the minutiae of the line items. But I do object to the overtime, and I am truly hopeful that the council and the mayor will not be defensive about anything that they're questioned about and will move forward to deal with the overtime costs and whether it's going to the state to ask about the 2019 bill that put the sick and overtime, the sick and vacation time, into the computation for figuring overtime is outrageous. And I hope you will all pursue that line of thought to undo that so that the overtime costs might become a little more reasonable. And if that can't be done, then I'm asking that you do other things to consider bringing down either minimum manning or bringing down trucks going out with ambulances. That's absolutely ridiculous and unnecessary. Warwick is paying one of the highest rates in the country for fire services, and I don't understand why our taxpayers are not an equivalent in the country for income, why we have to be paying such an exorbitant amount on fire services and overtime, when maybe some negotiating on these other issues that I just mentioned could be done, maybe. And I would hope that you would try to do that. You clearly are concerned with taxpayers. There's no doubt in my mind that you are. But sometimes that means taking on unions and executive functions that may be uncomfortable, and I'm asking that you continue to do that.
Thank you very much, Ms. Walsh. Are there any other members of the public that would like to speak?
At this time, any other members?
Okay, at this time, then we are going to move to the fire grants budget item.
if you want to, okay, since on it.
Fire grants are on page 30 and as well as emergency management.
Yes.
Are there any questions?
I have a question on fire grants. I do not have questions. I apologize. Any questions from members of the council on the fire grants budget? Okay.
I just have one quick one.
Councilman Sinapi.
To one of the caller's points, I feel like this is a silly question, but I'll ask it anyway. Is it safe to assume that the city will comply with any terms of a grant if one is obtained?
Absolutely.
Thought so. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions from members of the council? Councilman Gephardt.
It was helpful. You mentioned the SAFE grant earlier. Can you just give us sort of line of sight to the other grants that are in your pipeline that you're working on that may not be already obtained and thus included in the budget that would impact this coming fiscal year?
We've applied for two FEMA grants. One is the one that we spoke about earlier, which is the SAFER grant, which would pay for staffing for 3 years. And that does not have any kind of city co-share. The other grant we applied for was for a vehicle grant for a ladder truck. We hope to hear on that, whether or not we were successful or not in being awarded that in June. Those are the two grants, and the radio grant. What was the amount we applied for? That was $1 million to upgrade all of our radios as well. So we've applied for three grants, and we're waiting to hear on all three.
And on the staffing grant, what's the amount available or the amount that we applied for?
So that was over 3 years. And so it's different amounts over 3 years based on the pay grade of the firefighters at the time. If you'll bear with me for a second, I might be able to provide some information on that for each year. So, Councilman, for year one, the total is 5.7. 1.6 roughly in year one, 1.9 year two, 2.1 year three, roughly 5.7 over the total of it.
Okay, got it. And that's not fiscal year, that's essentially grant year. So once it's awarded?
Yes, sir, that's right.
Okay, all right. So we would theoretically be able to consume most of that year one with the class that was hired, you know, if they start, you know, sometime in the spring or so. Okay. And the ladder truck grant, we haven't got to the lease purchase yet, but that's not the same vehicle that's included in the lease purchase, right? That's a pumper truck in the lease purchase, and then the grant is for a ladder.
In the lease purchase, a ladder engine and three rescues were included for the fiscal year.
And three rescues. Okay, got it. So we would hold off, obviously, on the purchase of the ladder until we heard back on the grant.
That's right.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. That's all I have. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak on the fire grants budget? Any members of the public that like to speak on the fire grants budget? Seeing none, we will move to the emergency management budget. Same page, page 30. And I will kick it off. This is the question I had on the proposed line item for professional services, $100,000. What does that entail?
So professional services, currently are contracted with GCA to oversee our FEMA public assistance reimbursement that's related to the COVID pandemic. One thing that we learned was that we didn't have any funds available to contract with a company like this. Having that funding for their in the budget for professional services will allow us to have an account that we can draw from to contract with a company like GCAI Parametrics, which is overseeing that. 95% of the cost for the administrative cost for this company is reimbursable under the COVID public the FEMA public assistance reimbursement from the government. So we do need a pool of money to initially contract with them, but that's what the $100,000 was put into the budget for.
Thank you, Chief. Members of the council, Councilwoman Travis.
Thank you, Mr. President. Temporary services, it looked like all three items went up anyway, but 34 to 140 temporary services, what's that entail? It went up to 10,400.
Temporary services entails when we have to bring somebody in to do EMA work, anything related to the emergencies, the EMA related tasks that would not be covered under the fire department budget, that would allow us to provide reimbursement for that person. Also, that was realized through the pandemic as well, that we didn't have any method of being able to pay or reimburse anyone that had to come in for any type of project or duties assigned to the pandemic.
Okay, thank you. How about emergency operations?
That I'm going to let, that's more related to our EOC, and yep. Chief Umenhaus is very familiar with that.
Emergency operations budget is basically the general operating budget for emergency management. A bulk of that is contracts with the software vendors that we use, Code Red, the system that we use to send those automated messages throughout that we did a lot during the vaccine and at the beginning of the pandemic. That there's costs involved with all of them and the contracts. So that pays for the contracts that emergency management uses and any upgrades and maintenance of the emergency operations center. That's the room at fire department headquarters that we use, that we staff whenever a disaster or a large incident is going on. So we need to have money to be able to maintain and keep that that room up and running. There's a lot of electronics and the technology in that room.
And all the TVs and screens. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, President. Chief, I assume that this professional services line item you're looking to have filled, when you decide to move forward with that, that is something that will be accompanied by an RFP and from there come before the council?
Yes, sir, that's right.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you, Councilman. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak on the emergency management budget? Are there any members of the public that would like to speak on the emergency management budget? Okay. Now that we completed that, I'm going to ask that we take a 20-minute recess. We've been going since 4. Let everybody get up and stretch their legs. maybe have a little dinner, and we will be back around 7:30.